It has been, what, about 2 months? No, it's only been a little over a month, I feel. Maybe a month and a half?
It feels like it's been approximately 80 years since I last did anything. That's mostly me, because January might have been the longest month of my life.
Yeah. Well, you had a good reason for having to devote a lot of time to not this podcast and other things.
Yeah, this is the first piece of content I think I have made in 2022.
This podcast or your child?
Well, it depends upon. Yeah, I guess our children content is that just like, yeah, a new person just dropped. For anybody who doesn't know in the audience, this is why we recorded our episodes so far in advance, because we have burned through it all as I took several weeks off to go and have a babby, and now the babby is here. And he
now the baby's
is
here.
Very cute. He's great. But yeah. He doesn't sleep a whole lot. Or he does sleep a lot, but he doesn't sleep at times when you want him to. And everything from a little bit of gas to I'm slightly hungry is basically the worst emotion he's ever felt in his life, and expresses it in such a fashion. So So it's been, I think you can even see me like, Scott can see me in the call. Like I'm just like slumped with like the circles under my eyes. And I'm just like, all right.
When we first logged on, I was like, does Tristan want to be here right now? Because we cannot record if you want sleep or something.
I definitely do want to be here because this is a fun show, and I've been listening to our own show while I've been like, you know, up at 3 a.m. doing feedings. Yeah. And I'm like, this is such a good, fun activity. But I came with like, you know, I'm all ready to hit the books again. And then Scott's like, don't worry, bud. I got this one.
Don't worry. I got it. That's right. The tables have turned yet again on this episode where I, Scott, the person who typically does nothing, who does no research and who just shows up and just makes little goofs and gaffes. This time, for the second episode in a row, I have come prepared with some knowledge. And it's very exciting because now Tristan, who is typically the one who comes and devotes a day of his life to falling down the Ancient Aliens rabbit hole, is now here, fresh-faced, having no information about the topic I'll be talking about.
I guess we should probably mention that this is a show called It's Probably Not Aliens, and my name's Tristan Johnson, and I know nothing about what we're going to talk about today. And Scott Nice Wander, my co-host here, he's the one who knows. He is the holder of the knowledge.
I am the knower.
The last episode that came out as we recorded this one was the Scooby-Doo rant episode. So you were also the keeper of knowledge in that one.
People wanted more. They shouted more. In fact, it's actually really funny. This podcast might be the only piece of content that I make in my life that, like, the day when it goes up, if it's not up early in the morning, I get tweets from people and texts from my own girlfriend who's like, where's the new episode, Scott? I need it. I have friends of mine who are other like fellow YouTubers who are like, I can't do groceries unless you have a new podcast episode out because I got to listen to it on my errands.
I'm learning very quickly that podcasts more than YouTube videos are a thing that people integrate into like their routine. And if the routine doesn't hit, happen. But you know, that's okay. We're only 20 episodes in, so we're still kind of finding our
This is episode 25, I believe. Eventually we'll get better at these intros. But hey everyone, welcome to the show. As Tristan said, this is a show where we debunk ancient alien theories, and this is a topic that I've been wanting to do since the very first time I watched Ancient Aliens, all the way back in episode 3, where we finally watched Ancient Aliens for the first time, or at least I did. They had mentioned in one of the first one or two episodes, very briefly, that the Ark of the Covenant is a miniature nuclear reactor, and they just drop it.
Oh yeah, there's some corners of the internet where I have heard about this, and there's some like History Channel has been doing stuff on this topic even before Ancient Aliens. So like this one, I have long heard rumor of the of the nuclear Ark of the Covenant, so I'm excited for this.
This is fun. So I'm going to go through a lot of the theories that they claim, specifically in season 6, episode 10, which is just an entire episode about the Ark of the Covenant. So if you want to watch that, play along. It's going to be a fun time. But first, hey, Tristan, what is the Ark of the Covenant? Do you know? Are you familiar with it?
So I'm famously, I don't know if I've said this on the show a few times. I have, unless somebody was getting married or buried, I have actually never been to church. I have never gone to Sunday school. I was baptized as part of a political agreement between the Catholic and Protestant side of my families. But that was basically the extent of it.
Well, this is perfect. I'm going to put on my best youth pastor goatee and sit in a chair backwards. And I'm going to tell you all about this great story of the Ark of the Covenant. So just to make sure everyone's up to speed.
So yeah, what I do know comes from Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh yeah, trust me. We are going to have all the... at any point, please make a reference to Indiana Jones. And it will happen organically, I promise you. So, you familiar with the Israelites leaving Egypt?
Yes. Yeah, I watched the movie. I watched The Prince of Egypt. I know that one.
Yeah. So, on the first day of the third month after they left Egypt, they came to the Sinai Desert, and then God called Moses up to Mount Sinai, where he basically said, hey, look, bro, I helped you escape slavery. So now you owe me one. So, you know, just obey me, obey my rules. And then as long as that's all good, I got you.
He smoked some mad bush, if I remember correctly.
That was before this. The okay. Burning bush was before that. But you're on the right track. Same character. So then Moses was like, yeah, okay, that's pretty chill. But what rules specifically would you like us to follow? It would be cool and helpful if maybe you told us specifically. And then we could like write them down. So then God laid out, famously, the Ten Commandments.
Oh boy.
And I have this. This is a fun little game I want to play with you. I have this blacked out on the sheet. So, Tristan, as a person who's never been to church, do you know what the Ten Commandments are? And you don't have to get them in order.
Okay. So I think I do. I think okay. This is like if you ask somebody to name all the states, you're going to have like two at the end. And you're like, oh, God damn it. Okay. So there's one about false idols, right? Like not having any gods before me or something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then there's one about coveting, like coveting thy neighbor's wife. That's one, right?
Yep. You got the first one and the last one.
Okay. Then there's ones that you shalt not do, right? Like there's shalt not steal and shalt not kill.
Oh yeah. Yep. You got that. These are good. You're getting a lot of the no's.
This is like ancient Israelite stuff. So I'm assuming that there's going to be one that's going to be something weird. Like thou shalt not shave your sheep on Saturdays or something like that.
You're kind of close. So the first four of them are basically God being like, this is how you should treat me. And then the last six are, this is how you should treat other people.
Okay. Is there one about honoring the Sabbath? Is that a thing?
Yep. Okay. That's number four.
Oh yeah. There's the do what your mom and dad say. Honor thy mother and thy father, right?
That's number five.
Okay. We're getting there.
You got four more. This is the best game we've ever played.
Okay. So we got no gods before me. We got Sabbath. We got honor mother and father. No murder. No stealing. No coveting. Is there like a thing for like, don't cheat on your spouse?
I don't think so. Okay. These are the last two are blacked out. So I'm trying to remember what they are too, but I think I know what they are.
Okay.
Oh wait, no. Actually, you are correct. Yeah. I'm so silly. That one is one. You shall not commit adultery.
Adultery. Yes. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's it.
You shall not commit adultery.
I know that word. Is there anything? Oh yes. Bearing false witness. No lying. Yeah.
You got the bottom seven and then the first one. So the other two are basically, okay. And I know you know these, but
is
I'll,
love
I'll
thy
just,
neighbor one or is that kind of covered by the bear false witness against your neighbor?
Yeah, that's just sort of like a general thing.
Now I'm going to start getting mixed up the seven deadly sins. And
So the other ones are no idols, no false idols, right? And then don't take God's name in vain.
Oh, God damn it. Of course. So, of course it's that one.
Tristan, we screwed up already. So those are the 10 commandments in the order that Tristan guessed them. I just wanted to keep you on your toes. You know, you're back. You didn't have to do any research, but you still have to try to look smart.
It's good. It's like a warm up exercise. And this is also going to show how much like the prep is what makes me seem smart and not the like, you know, the improv on the scene off the top.
I know. We're halfway through the first page and I have 5 pages about this. So I'm just going to start flying. So basically, the 10 commandments, God set them all out, got them in little tablets now, little stone tablets. And they're super important, super holy, right? These are like the word of God. So they need a way to carry them around and protect them.
Yes, Indiana Jones. This is what they said. The tablets hold, the ark holds the tablets.
Yes,
and absolutely. That makes me think of, have you ever seen, now, the thing is like nobody under the age of like 58 has watched this movie. History of the World Part 1?
No, I've not.
Where they do a little bit with Moses where he comes down with the tablets and he's like, everybody, I just talked to God. And I'm like, I've got 15. And then one of them just falls down and shatters. And he's just like, oh, shit. 10 commandments.
Yeah, so exactly that. So they, in Exodus 25, God tells Moses to make an ark and lays out exactly how to do it in extreme detail. This chapter and like the next 5 or 6 chapters are just God telling Moses exactly how to build it. So we have pretty good idea of what it looks like and how big it was and things like that.
I love the Bible. It's so esoteric. It's just like in some ways, it's just like they'll have like the same story told 4 times and it's all inconsistent, yeah. But then like, and except for this part, which has a extremely long and excruciatingly detailed description of this box. And
it's like, you know, okay. Sometimes you're going to get like really interesting, like political intrigue, interpersonal drama of like cheating and murder and, you know, all sorts of wars and epic battles. And then sometimes you're just going to have to read through a little bit of an IKEA manual for a couple chapters.
Yeah, because it'll be like 900 years pass and we're not going to tell you what happened. Just some stuff happens. Some people begat for a while and then there's this.
But yeah, and so it's made of acacia wood. It's covered in gold. It's got 2 like cherubim on the cover, on the lid of the ark. And all that's going to be important here. But along with the ark, also has many chapters about the creation of a tabernacle, which is like a movable tent of worship.
Oh, wait. Okay, so a couple things on those. So first, if it's cherubim, just remembering our conversation with Andrew Mark Henry, does that mean that they're like horrible Lovecraftian horrors of like wheels and eyes and wings and flame?
You know, I don't know what the original Ark of the Covenant looks like. All of the depictions are basically just like generic angel wings, you know, but I like where your head's at. That's more fun to me.
The second thing is, this will be for the Quebecois, for the speakers of Joual in the audience.
Ooh.
So I, like I said, one of the things about living in Quebec specifically, for those who don't live, Quebec is basically the province where the predominant language is French. There's some other places where French is spoken, but it's the one where like French is the official language. And I lived there for a few years. I went to university there, and all of the like kind of like Quebecois version of French, like they're kind of like slang version of French, just kind of like, you know, several centuries removed from France. Their slang, especially their swear words specifically, are all just slandering church relics. And so my brain instantly goes, when you're talking about the tabernacle, instantly goes to the fact that tabernacle is basically like saying fuck in Quebecois French.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this in an episode before.
I believe so.
I didn't put that together. Yeah, that it was specifically about a tabernacle.
I have 6 stories, okay?
Hey, look, I think I've made the reference to Thebes being the big olive like 2 or 3 times on this podcast already, all right? So we both have the same stories and jokes. But yeah, so the tabernacle is basically this like movable tent of worship, and the ark had its own special compartment in the tabernacle called the Most Holy, and almost no one was allowed in it except for very specific people on very specific occasions. Otherwise, that's just where it was housed when they weren't like traveling. And then when they were traveling, the veil that sort of separated it was used to like drape over the ark so that no one would really see it or even touch it. In fact, no one was supposed to touch it. It was like carried on poles. And I believe it was even carried like far up, you know, in front of the crowd of, you know, people traveling. It was just like, don't be around this thing. Don't be around it.
Yeah, if you open it, you melt.
Exactly. And we will get to that for sure. But more than just being a practical device to hold these, you know, the Ten Commandments, the Ark was a symbol of God's presence, with like the cherubs on top representing God's throne, and he would be sort of like seated between them or upon them, watching over the Israelites.
The symbol of God's love. Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. Don't you dare touch it. But yeah, the Ark would later carry other things that aren't as important, because a lot of this stuff, the thing it was made for was the Ten Commandments. So because there's all of this, like, don't touch it, don't be around it, don't look at it, only a few people are able to do it, because of all of this, Ancient Aliens clearly has made a lot of theories about what it could be. For example, is the reason you can't touch it or be around it or open it, is the reason because it's a nuclear-powered device that gives off radiation that, like Indiana Jones, does it melt your face off? Does it, like, make you so sick and instantly kill you because it's just radiating with nuclear energy?
So then what happens to people who carry it?
You know, that's an inconsistency that I'm not quite sure about.
And like, do they hook it up to the mana machine? Like, what does that mean, that our pancakes are radioactive?
Well, so this is the other thing. So the Ark may have stored the mana machine, or it could have stored a nuclear powered device that powered the mana machine. Ancient Aliens is not quite clear on that. They sort of flip-flop between them. If you don't know about the mana machine, we've done a whole episode about it. That's one where Tristan did the research, so it's better than this episode.
Oh, but come on.
But yeah, it's this idea that mana was like this, you know, algae device created from ancient technology or potentially aliens, and it may have been powered by the arc reactor. That's sort of, yeah, that's basically what it is, isn't it?
Friggin' Old Testament Iron Man, where like he has his, to keep his heart going, he has to carry this giant golden chest on this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they did Marvel 1619. Why don't they get on this? Marvel 2000 BC.
Basically. And then to go along with this claim, in the episode I watched, Giorgio Tsoukalos, friend of the show.
Friend of the pod.
Not really. Friend of the podcast. Claimed that the Zohar's translation of, you know, calling it like the Ancient of Days.
Don't mess with him.
Don't mess with the, that's a different, is that Zohan? I can't remember. Right.
This is the Kabbalah book.
Yes, yeah. The translation of like Ancient of Days is actually supposed to be like the transportable one with tanks, which is supposed to describe the Ark of the Covenant as like, it's a transportable thing that has tanks on
like,
it.
Like, okay.
That's
like,
how we know.
We're talking about like tank as in thing that stores things, not like a T-38. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
You could easily say it's just a movable thing that carries something. But transportable one with tanks. Tanks for what? For nuclear energy? For algae and mana creation? I don't know. But we'll break down. I just want to lay out their claims a little bit. I think I teased this in the previous episode too. This is going to be really dangerous because I want to start the episode in the first half talking about their claims and then debunk them later. And if people only listen to the first half, that'll be very dangerous. But they also claim that the Ark parted the Jordan River using high-speed winds to like part the water. They also said either those winds or sonic booms helped to knock over the wall of Jericho. Do you know that story?
That's like from the part of the Bible where like they talk about like the Israelites going around and basically committing an ethnic cleansing of the area, but it's in a good way. And Jericho's the one where they like blow a horn and the walls collapse or something.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a whole VeggieTales episode about it with a super catchy song. Would recommend.
I know that my wife used to be evangelical, and I believe she mentioned there being a Jericho song for Sunday school.
I think there's a couple.
And there was the Canadian American sci-fi show that lasted for a couple seasons about a little town that suffers a nuclear apocalypse called Jericho.
It's all connected. It's all connected. So the Ark of the Covenant was stolen also a couple times, most notably by the Philistines, who, when they took it, died almost immediately from, and this is what Ancient Aliens claims, from radioactive sickness.
Oh.
Because everywhere they took the Ark, people became afflicted with illness and died there, with accounts specifically of like tumors spreading across people's bodies. Like, it was not a good time.
Oh.
So that could be, you know, radiation stuff happening.
I have doubts about that's how radiation sickness works, but okay.
The Mercy Seat, which is where the cherubs are, that's the throne that God would be sitting in watching over people, it's some call it the Mercy Seat, is that potentially electrical conductors, right? Does this whole thing made of gold, it's like a wooden box coated in gold, and it's got these two like prongs with the cherubs on top that could spark electricity between them. So were they electrical conductors? Is that potentially why people died when they touched it? Because they were effectively electrocuting themselves if they weren't careful enough.
That's not good.
All these theories. And then the biggest question is, where is it now? Where is the Ark of the Covenant? It's gone. We don't have it. It's in a museum. It belongs in it. No, it doesn't.
I think I do remember, I think I said this in the episode too, that there's a temple in Ethiopia that claim they have it.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
I mean, we can just say it now. Yeah, there's all sorts of places that claim they have it, and there's all sorts of theories about it, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But yes, for sure, that popped up in the Ancient Aliens episode as well. But one theory is that it's stored beneath the Temple Mount. Do you know this place?
Yeah, like the big temple in Israel.
That's the one.
Or in Jerusalem specifically.
In Jerusalem. It's one theory is that it's stored beneath there. And in 2011, I don't know if you remember this, there was a UFO sighting over the Temple Mount that ancient astronauts thinks might have just hovered above it to help charge up the Ark of the Covenant every couple millennia or whatever to keep it, make sure it's still got a charge in it.
It does ring a bell.
Do you remember this UFO sighting? You can look it up on YouTube. It's a real thing. I'll describe it very briefly, but it's just like a really shaky sort of low quality phone video of like a ball of light. And there's like actually two videos of a ball of light hovering over the temple.
Oh yeah, yep. This gives me vibes, which, like, given that, like, you know, Jerusalem not exactly the stablest of regions at the moment, I imagine just seeing a light in the air like that would be that'd be spooky for a lot of reasons about the kind of stuff that goes on there.
So these are all of the claims that Ancient Aliens lays out. It's man a machine, maybe. It's nuclear powered. It's electric. It can shoot high speed winds that separate rivers. It can have sonic booms that knock over walls. It needs to be charged up by aliens in 2011. And there's video evidence of it, apparently. So, are any of these claims true, Tristan?
Yes. Oh, wait. I don't know if I was supposed to answer that one.
Oh, well, that's the rest of the episode then. But you know what? I will try my best to debunk these systematically.
Ooh.
After this quick break.
Buy things.
So we're back, and maybe you heard an ad, maybe you didn't. I don't know.
I just bankrupted myself buying every single thing in the ad, so.
It's super irresponsible. You have a new child to support.
It's true. I bought all for him.
Oh, that's good then. So let's talk about the Ark of the Covenant. What may it actually be for realsies, as far as we know anyway? So like I said, we've already done an entire... I wrote in the outline that we've done an entire video about it.
We really can't escape this. We
can't escape it.
We're going to be on like episode 200 and we're still going to refer to our episodes as videos.
I know. We've done an entire podcast episode about the Man and Machine on this show that you're listening to. Go listen to that for more information about that specific thing. But I did just want to debunk the whole transportable one with tanks thing. That is only ever cited in the Man and Machine book, like the book The Man and Machine, and no other scholar recognizes it as a legitimate translation. Most people say that they purposely broke linguistics to try and fit their desired outcome. It would be like, Tristan, if you told me, hey, I think Scott eats his food off the floor. And I said, well, no, Tristan, I actually have a very notable dining room. And you said, see, he said it himself. He has a dining room with no table. Like, technically the letters are correct, but you had to break a lot of language to get the result that you wanted.
I would also seem to think that this is, if we had a very powerful nuclear reactor that far back, that there would probably be like some sort of isotope test we could do or something. Like if there was a nuclear reactor under the Temple Mount, I have a feeling that you could answer that if you like walked around with like a Geiger counter.
That's true. That's very true. No one ever thinks of these things except us. We're the smart ones. So let's talk about the Jordan River parting. That was a big claim on the episode that I watched, that when they had to cross the Jordan River, they put the Ark of the Covenant out and in front of the river, and it shot high speed winds that parted the river. Hey, ancient aliens, maybe read the source material of what you're talking about. That never happens in the Bible. They may have gotten that confused with Moses parting the Red Sea, which happened before the Jordan River thing.
It's before the Ark of the Covenant too, isn't it?
That's before the Ark of the Covenant. So like that doesn't make sense. And what actually happened, and I will just read this to you in one of our many Bible verses I'm going to bring to this episode, that is a book that starts with J in the chapter 3 and verse 16. We're going to have a lot of J 3:16.
It's the wrestler, right? Stone Cold Steve Austin or whatever. Wasn't there a WWE wrestler who had something 316 on his?
Probably a John 316. Yeah. There's a lot of, but we're going to do a lot of J 316s in this episode, and John 316 will be a part of that, but not right now. So what actually happened in the Jordan River is that it just stopped flowing because it was obstructed by something upstream. And the Bible was very clear about this in Joshua 3:16. It says, quote, this is the New International Version, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. End quote.
Divine beavers.
That's all it says. It's like it was just obstructed, so the people crossed over. I do not know. I have absolutely no idea where ancient aliens got this idea that the Ark of the Covenant had anything to do with it. And especially that it shot high pressure wind that split the sea. That's so baffling to me.
Like I said, it could be that it contained, like the Ark contained some kind of set of wind, like some kind of beavers that were able to block the river. Beavers
okay.
do that.
Okay.
I'm Canadian, I have to mention it.
It's funny that in the episode they talk about how really in the Ark of the Covenant was not just, you know, it wasn't just this place to hold the Ten Commandments. It was a toolkit. It was a toolkit for survival and war and all this stuff. So maybe Bieber.
Justin Bieber came out.
Maybe Justin Bieber was a part of the Exodus. Has anyone thought of that?
Makes him a lot old. Like, you know, he kind of sells himself as being a young guy. So this would definitely change his branding quite a bit.
So anyway, that's what happened to the Jordan River. People just crossed over opposite Jericho. Speaking of Jericho, by the way, that whole story about them walking around the walls of Jericho and blowing the trumpets and the walls falling down. I learned just today that entire story from the Bible potentially may have happened centuries after Jericho fell. So like, there's a really big question whether or not any of that actually happened. Like by the time they got to Jericho, it probably already would have been not standing, just based off of like our best historical archaeological findings and research. But we talked about this with Dr. Andrew Mark Henry, and sometimes stories from the Bible are written about, you know, centuries after they happen, and people aren't super concerned with being 100% historically accurate as they are trying to weave a narrative and an origin story for their people. And so I think that might be, you know, just in my very rudimentary amateur sort of approach here in this research, that seems to be potentially what happened. Like, the walls of Jericho like fell, and then people stumbled across them centuries later, and then centuries even after that, you know, people wrote this story and they were just like, yeah, you know what, they may have been related. It tells a good story, doesn't it? So that's just my thoughts.
And basically the guy who was sent to take care of Jericho shows up and the place is already gone, and they'll be like, well, we can't just tell them that we just went there and everything was gone. We got to have like a good story. And he's like, all right, listen, I have an idea.
Hear me out. Battle of the bands. We got trumpets.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
The thing you said about making history fit a narrative and like that being a more common thing, it reminds me about how historians are very frustrated working in specifically medieval Europe, because yeah, the chroniclers, like the monks and stuff like that, who were in charge of chronicling the past and writing history, had a sort of approach like that, where if there wasn't a source to fill in what they thought happened between two events, they would just write it and make it up and put it in there. So we have to end up finding things like that are just straight up additions later. Like, for example, there's like these people who did apologia who were saying like, look, here's a secular source that shows that Jesus was real in the Roman historian Josephus's writing of the region. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, actually, like a medieval monk added that there later. Because they're like, oh, he wrote about this time when Jesus would have been alive, but didn't mention him. That's wrong. I'm going to have to add that in there.
Fill that one in.
It's like, oh,
that,
no.
That's interesting. And that might just be very well the case with Jericho and this. Who knows? Not me. I'm not an expert. This podcast is purely for entertainment. But then let's get to the radiation poisoning. You remember that one? Remember when I mentioned that? You had some thoughts about that. When the Philistines stole the ark, and then suddenly everywhere they took it, they started dying. People started dying. What are your initial thoughts? I know that I sent you my outline, but there's a chance you haven't read all the way through. What are your initial thoughts there?
So God, or they take the covenant, and then people die.
Yeah. The people who stole it died. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Ten Commandments explicitly say, hey, don't steal things. And if I seem to recall that this part of the Bible, God likes to do plagues specifically.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That it sounds like it's probably a biblical plague, which meant that it's probably not radiation, because you can radiation poisoning is a very, very specific type of disease that has a cycle that is very unique. Because like, not only do you feel sick for a while, but then you feel better. And then when you feel better, you then go real, real bad, because basically all of your DNA is dead.
Oof. That's no good.
But the tumor thing was weird, because the tumors, because like you, if you have radiation sickness, you don't die of tumors breaking out. The tumors are like, if you get radiation exposure, like later in life, you'll have a higher chance of getting weird cancers.
Yeah. Yeah. And that just might be us looking back on it and trying to force that information to make sense in that regard. But you're not far off with the plague thing. In fact, you're very close with the plague thing. So the Septuagint, are you familiar with the Septuagint?
Nope, that's a new one.
The Septuagint, this is all like, to anyone who doesn't know, I went to Bible college for like 3 years. So this was like pulling so much memories out of my like, out of the recycling that it has just been lingering for almost a decade. I'm just like, maybe I'll get rid of this. Nope, it's coming in handy. The Septuagint is like the Greek translation, like the earliest sort of Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. And that specified during the time that the Philistines were moving the ark from city to city, that mice, rats, or rodents sprang up throughout the country. In fact, 1 Samuel 6:4 says that the Philistines panicked when all this started happening, and they tried to create a guilt offering of 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice, which represent the things that were plaguing them. So tumors and mice were their plagues.
I've heard some stuff about mice and rodents and plagues.
So we know that rodents and some illness that caused tumors were involved. So this implies...
Oh, I know this one.
Potentially. You know this one?
Right on. I was a research assistant for a professor who studied medieval Spanish like hospitals. And I believe they call it buboes, like bubonic plague, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly right. The bubonic plague. Which was transmitted by like fleas that were carried by rats and by people.
There's an addendum to that because the Black Death, because people were thinking it was fleas on rats. And then some more recent scholarship seems to think that actually it was probably fleas on gerbils.
Oh, really?
And so it was much cuter.
That's cute. But yeah, I mean, like we said, some translations say mice, rats, some just say rodents in general.
I imagine people back then didn't really have large distinctions between them all.
Probably not. But yes, one of the symptoms of the bubonic plague were the buboes.
Yeah. I had to read like hundreds and hundreds of ye old Castilian Spanish texts. I had to find every reference to the word bubo. So I have that word scarred into the back of my brain.
It sounds like a very silly word, bubo. But they are, as far as I understand, like painful pockets of swelling over certain parts of the body, like filled with all sorts of gross stuff.
I really like antibiotics. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yes. And because they're pockets that swell up over the body, they do look like you're like growing like tumors over your body. Like to ancient people who don't fully understand this disease, like it just looks like your body's starting to swell in certain very specific pockets of places that does not look great. Hey, please do not look this up. I wrote that in the notes because I looked it up and I now know that Tristan had to study it as well. I would recommend don't look up pictures of it. It's not fun. No, thank you. But yeah, would you say that that is more or less likely than radiation poisoning? That if they specifically say that rodents are popping up around the time that they're starting getting these
rodents, tumors. Yeah. Cause there's nothing about them having burns or their thyroids getting all swollen you know, like I know that Ancient Aliens is kind of relying on people not knowing stuff, but like, we know what radiation poisoning looks like. We like even people back then would have described it very differently. Like it's not tumors. It's not rats. It's like,
and specifically that they were wanting to make that guilt offering because like specifically for tumors and mice, like mice was one of the plagues they were dealing with. And that is not covered anywhere when you just factor in radiation poisoning. Like it's not like radiation like draws in mice, you know, it's not like they're attracted to the stuff.
No, I imagine mice don't like radiation at all.
They probably don't like it. Yeah.
And also they would have mentioned like their hair falling out or like their teeth or something like that, right?
Yeah. So this seems like a more likely conclusion to me. And look, you could still argue if you're a religious person, you could absolutely still argue that like those are two plagues that God would put on and has done previously. So like that could still be a thing and it's not radiation. But yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. A couple last little rebuttals here. The idea of the cherubs on the top being an electrical device that creates a whole circuit and shocks people was on an episode of Mythbusters back in the day. Do you remember this?
I
saw this.
I think that's where I got like the idea from, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I believe they used the Baghdad batteries, which are these like ancient battery
devices.
We're going
to cover that someday. I know it.
Oh, yeah, we will. Oh, yeah. But like they're these like pots that have different, you know, different metals and and other stuff inside of them that actually, I believe, at least on Mythbusters, they did confirm it does create an electrical charge. It's not a lot. It's not a very strong electrical charge. It's definitely not enough to shock someone, let alone kill them.
It'd be like saying you could kill somebody with a potato battery.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, it's enough to do some like electroplating of metals and things, but it is not enough to even feel it. And in fact, they even say so on Mythbusters. They were like, even if they could do it, even if they like, you know, rigged up the Ark of the Covenant with all these batteries, these ancient batteries, it would not be enough to feel anything, let alone, as we said, like electrocute people to death, as some of these claims say. Like, it's not dangerous.
I wish that they had done that, because if I recall, it's really early in Mythbusters that they did that. I wish they had done it later when they started getting more bored, and they'd be like, actually, we're going to figure out how many Baghdad batteries it actually does take to electrocute somebody instead of like a room full of them or something.
That would be fun. I know that a famous moment did come from that episode where they tricked Adam into, they like rigged up like something much stronger, like a big battery, like a big modern car battery or to it. And he was like, these are just like the Baghdad batteries, right? These aren't like a modern thing. And they're like, oh yeah, no, absolutely. And he touched it and obviously it just hurt like hell because it was a full modern battery that just like pumped electricity through his system.
Yeah. Pranks in a workshop like that sound dangerous.
Yeah, very much so. But yeah, I mean, this is one of those examples where, again, I think we're just looking at something through a modern lens. You know, we now know a lot about electricity. We know that gold is a good conductor. We see something's golden and it has two prongs on it at the top. So we sort of project that maybe it's meant to complete a circuit. And that's really all the evidence that's thrown out there. There's really no other evidence other than like it's gold. People say it could hurt them. I don't know. It might be electric. I don't know.
Thing looks like a thing.
Thing looks like a thing that I'm used to.
Now I can't get out of my head like the idea of somebody trying to like boost their car by hooking up jumper cables to these two angel wings and like.
Well, you know, God's
my booster.
God's my booster. Jesus, take the wheel. But all right. Okay, Tristan, here's a big question. If aliens did create the Ark, then maybe you would think, and it's powered by electricity or nuclear energy or whatever, then maybe they would have to come back in a while to charge it up. If it is a battery, for example, you gotta recharge a battery. Everyone knows this. I can't get through a half a day without having to plug in my phone. So aliens would have to come back and charge up the Ark, which is when the 2011 video, the UFO above the Temple Mount, that's real, isn't it?
Shaky, blurry cell phone footage seems pretty legit to me. You're gonna have a tough time proving this one.
Oh, Tristan, of course it's not real. Firstly, suspiciously, no one came out and claimed to be the person who filmed it, which you'd think you would do if you were the first person to capture alien footage that seemed legit. No other witnesses came forward saying they saw it there, and despite there being thousands of people in the area at the time, not a single person came forward and said, yes, I also saw it. A little suspicious.
Yeah, the religious center of a massive city. You'd think we'll have some people there.
You would think
especially
anyone else
like,
would see it.
I know I kind of hit on this earlier, but like Israel is a country where they have a lot of things looking at the sky and like monitoring things because there's a bit of a security situation with, I don't get into the news, but like, what's it called? Like they have an entire like iron dome system that's designed for catching rockets that get shot over from Palestine. So like, I feel like if there was like a spaceship hovering in the air, it would have been detected by some stuff.
By anybody else, right? But then we get into like the more, this is all like circumstantial, right? Like, okay, it's possible everyone had their back turned at the exact same time because they were all trying to take a selfie or something. It's possible that no one came forward to claim it because they just weren't the kind of person who wanted attention. But then you get into like the practical stuff that's wrong about it. The dome of the Temple Mount is very shiny. It's incredibly shiny. It's made of gold, or not made of gold, but it's covered in gold. And yet, in the video, it didn't reflect any light from this UFO that was all light. It was just a ball of light hovering above it. In the video, it's like it's not even there. No light shining on the temple at all.
That's weird.
So that's strange. And also, because we know how big the temple is, we can figure out the scale of this spaceship, and it would only be about 15 feet in diameter, which seems a little small. Certainly not, you know, like, it's not nothing. It's a little small. It could be possible, like, for an alien spaceship that came all the way here to charge something as important as the Ark of the Covenant. Like, I don't know. It's a little small. That's all I'm saying.
They're like alien millennials. They're doing cottagecore. It's like the tiny house movement.
Maybe
they're into the tiny spaceship movement.
Tiny saucer movement. But then the most sort of damning evidence is that there are editing artifacts. And this is where, like, Editor Scott comes out, and I love this stuff because the footage is a little shaky. If you really go frame by frame, you'll realize that the shake was put in post. It was most likely a locked down tripod shot, and someone put the shake in there, and they tried to hide the shake by using an effect in After Effects called motion tile, which just mirrors the edges of the image as you shake it so that there's no like black space. So it makes it look like you're, you know, like expanding the image. It's really obvious. It's super fake. So most likely this video is not real. And ancient aliens went out of their way to showcase it and say that it is real when it's so clearly not.
Dude, sorry. Did you just say that they went out of their way to show that it is real?
Okay.
Sorry. I have big shoes to fill being the person whomst makes the jokes.
I think you're doing great. This is very fun. How am I doing?
You're doing
filling
great.
In for your spot.
Yeah. I see a start that says the part where Scott makes us sad, so I'm excited. I'm going to see where this goes.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun one. And I might actually lean on you for that a little bit, because you might know more about the situation than I do. But here's the wildest thing. Now, you may have noticed that some of these claims seem to be almost mutually exclusive, right? Was it a mana machine? Did it power the mana machine? Is it a sonic weapon? Could it generate strong winds to part rivers? Is it a communication device? We didn't even touch on that. An ancient aliens thing said that it was a way to communicate with aliens. Is it electric? Is it nuclear? What is it? I'm reminded of like this thought experiment of like, if you have two robots, if you want to create a robot that makes pancakes and then a robot that runs up the stairs, it's best to create two separate robots, because if you try to make a robot that's good at both of those things, it will be worse at both of those things, right? Because it's trying to do too much. It will be not as efficient as if you just built two things for specific purposes. So Ancient Aliens says, well, yeah, that's why there wasn't just one Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, no.
There were at least two, potentially dozens, maybe one box that could do one thing and another box that could do a different thing. And that's why all of these mutually exclusive theories are actually, they all work together and they're all, there's different boxes.
How elegant.
There's just a lot of them out there, and we don't have any. We can't find them, but they were there. There were lots of them. Earth was littered with arcs of the covenant. That's all I'm saying.
Just got them all over the place.
Now, that's a really bad idea and a really bad theory for a lot of reasons, but let's just reel it back. We're almost done. We're going to wrap up here with some fun stuff and then some sad stuff. Let's just work under the theory that there is only one arc for now. If you can just roll with me there. It has traveled a lot throughout the Old Testament over like 1,000 years before it seemingly went missing. Where is it? Where is it? Where is the Ark of the Covenant? Well, Ancient Aliens claims that when Jerusalem was like ransacked or destroyed or whatever, the Ark was hidden and found later by the Knights Templar.
Oh, yeah. I have heard of this. Yeah.
Yes. There's, you know, stories of the Nazis looking for it in the mountains of France. Maybe it was taken to Scotland. Maybe it was taken all the way to North America. Ancient Aliens doesn't say where in North America. They just say, yeah, it was taken to North America and buried underground. North America is a giant place. Is it in a church in Ethiopia? As you mentioned, there are guards there who claim that they are watching over the Ark, and it is obviously no one's allowed in except them, and it's this like really important tradition to uphold and just watch over this artifact that's in there, and that's super important. Yeah,
man. Ethiopian Christianity is hits different.
And Ancient Aliens even speculates, is it in Japan? Did it make its way all the way to Japan?
What's the reasoning for that?
The reasoning for that is bad. It's that they basically look at a group of people in Japan who do a similar thing where they take what looks like a sort of Ark-related item up a mountain as a part of their religious belief. And Ancient Alien just says, that looks similar, so it might be the same thing.
That's par for the course.
Yeah, they're basically just saying that this Japanese tradition is just Judaism light or something like that. They're like just taking, they're just looking at it from that lens. It's not great, Tristan. I don't like it. And they spend too much time on it.
That
in the
is
episode.
Not very culturally sensitive of them.
It's not, which is surprising for Ancient Aliens. You'd think that they'd be more chill about that sort of stuff. But wherever it is in the world, the Ark is lost. But that's okay. Because, and this is me doing my best youth minister impression again, God said in Jeremiah 3:16, another J3:16, that, quote, when you multiply and increase in the land, they will no longer discuss the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. It will never come to mind, and no one will remember it or miss it, nor will another one be made. And he was almost right, except for the fact that people are definitely still talking about it. But a big box of God representing his covenant was replaced by a new covenant in the New Testament. A little friend of mine I like to call JC.
Oh,
Jesus
man.
Christ.
Youth Pastor Scott.
Yeah. So this is the whole idea of the Ark of the Covenant. Is the reason it's gone missing, and the reason why it doesn't matter that it's gone missing, is because of the whole New Testament. Jesus' sacrifice represents a new promise from God to all of his peoples of the earth, that anyone who believes in him and loves him will have eternal life in heaven. Just like John 3:16 says, right? So that's the last of the J3:16s.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Ark of the Covenant anymore. We're looking for the Holy Grail instead, which
that's
there's got to be
right.
A Holy Grail episode at some point in the show.
Oh, for sure. So yeah, look, the Ark does show up one last time in the Bible in Revelations, and it's just in heaven, once again representing God's presence. And really, that should be the end of it, right? Like God says himself in the Bible that, like, don't look for it. It's not important. It was important. It's not important. Have you heard of my son? He's the real deal. Focus on that. Don't focus on the Ark. But no, instead, not only do we get all of these ancient astronaut theories, all these ancient alien theories, but throughout history, people have still continued to search for it. Like I said, the Nazis looking for it. Indiana Jones stopping them, obviously. Good job, Harrison Ford. Do you subscribe to that theory that the first movie is bad because you can just take away Indiana Jones and the movie would resolve itself because the Nazis would just open the Ark and then die? So it's like,
there's a little bit of that, isn't there? I would also think that it's interesting because, like, it doesn't seem like any of the people who are looking for it are the people who, you know, this might be significant for, which are Jewish people. Because they're the one who don't have a New Testament, right? So like,
yeah, so you say that, and this brings me to the part where Scott makes you sad. Because people are searching for it still to this day, there have been unlicensed excavations at places like the Temple Mount.
Oh, don't do that. No. Mm-hmm. There's too much history there.
Important historical, religious, holy place. There have been people digging through. The most famous example is in 1981. There was a Jewish rabbi who started conducting with a small crew unlicensed excavations in the Temple Mount, digging up, you know, all these different corridors and gates and things like that, clearing rubble and just trying to dig and dig and dig and find the Ark of the Covenant. And that caused a little bit of a riot.
I can imagine.
Between the Jewish explorers and the Arab guards.
Yeah, the Temple Mount is like one of the holiest places in the world for Jews and Muslims. It's a
yes.
And it's a point of very high contention in Jerusalem, even to this day.
Yes. So, yeah, in the 80s, people digging up, trying to find stuff, potentially messing with this very, very, very holy and important site did not go over well. And that resulted in a 2,000-year-old ancient gate there, a gate to the temple, being filled with cement to try and prevent people from digging again, from digging at it again.
I remember this because there's also, I think that, unless I'm conflating with this, it's a different story, because there's because that gate is, according to Judaism, is supposed to be the gate that at the end of times, when the dead rise from the grave, they're going to walk through that gate. And so like the gate was sealed as a way to be like, aha, you can't go through your gate now. Like,
yeah, it's just we talk about this a lot, but like these sort of unlicensed archaeological hobbyists, it's not great for these sites and just for history in general.
No. And as I kind of mentioned, like Jerusalem specifically, but like, you know, Palestine, Israel in general, very like, not only is there a lot of history that is extremely important for two very important religions that are in a state of very high tension in that region where lives are on the line, like a lot. And so, it turns out history is important, especially in that kind of place.
Very much so. And I just want to end it by doing a little bit of a spiel real quick. So like, as I said, I'm not even though I went to Bible college, I'm not a religious person currently. Religion's not really been an active part of my life in many years. And as Tristan said, you're not a very religious person. You never really have been. Yeah.
Nah. I was more raised by, I think I've mentioned this too. I was more raised by like people, like I was more raised by someone who's more into like psychics and tarot cards and that kind of religiousness. If that's a thing, if you consider it that.
Yeah, sure. But like, as we've always said on this podcast, we're not about trying to, you know, dispel religion with facts and logic or anything like that.
No.
So I just wanted to just end it by just saying, like, again, God specifically said that people would stop caring about the Ark. And clearly that's not true, but I do think it potentially should be. Like, people continue to search for it for either simple religious reasons or for absolute nefarious reasons. And not only is there, sadly, no real evidence that it ever actually existed, because, like, again, we've not found it. It could just be part of the story of a people trying to create a narrative. But even if it did exist, searching for it today is very specifically what God did not want people to do.
And at the end of the day too, like I could see this still being an important object to, say, like an extremely Orthodox Jewish person, for example. Yeah. And like the thing is, like, even for Jewish listeners and such, like think about this, like the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be a symbol of the covenant, of like, you know, the relationship that your people have with God. And I feel like at the end of the day, with like all the, you know, I'm not going to tell Jewish people how to be Jewish, but
right.
But like, you know, at the end of the day, that's the important part, right? It's that covenant, what covenant means, right? The relationship you have with the divine, and to know that, you know, you are protected people, that, you know, this person's looking out for you, and that you don't need, you know, a box to survive thousands and thousands of years for that to be true.
Yeah. And I just think that it's really funny to me that the episode of Ancient Aliens ends with them saying the Ark is, quote, the most coveted relic of all time, end quote, when the tablets that it holds specifically say, please don't covet. Do not do that. Do not covet.
Yeah. It says right on the thing.
It's written right on the thing. And that's all I have to say about The Ark of the Covenant. How did I do?
It was pretty good. I learned some stuff.
Okay.
And yeah, we I didn't know there was so much lore. So I knew that it was like up there with like, you know, like I always kind of think about like the quest for the Ark, kind of like the quest for the Holy Grail. And so I think I got a lot of those wires crossed in my head. So but yeah, I did not. I've heard of a lot of these things, but I didn't actually know the contents. That's really cool.
Yeah, this stuff, like I said, jogs a lot of memories for me, and it's very fun to look back on now, just because I no longer see it as necessarily like, you know, I have a better mind frame of like, these are stories that are for morality, and they sort of have fictional elements that sort of paint a nice cultural story, rather than studying it as if it was all 100% literal. But yeah, I don't know. I'll going back and doing all this research, it just awakens a part of me that I wish was awake when I actually was in Bible college, because maybe I would have done better instead of being kicked out for failing. Anyway, thanks for watching this show. I said watching this show. What am I doing?
If you are watching this show with your ears,
thank you for listening to this podcast. I enjoy you being here. And I gotta just say, I have a newfound respect for Tristan, who does this sort of research every week. Holy cow, how do you do it? It took me all day.
My soul knows no rest.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say researching Bible stuff is fairly easy because the book is online, pretty easy to find.
There's a TikTok thing that fits my ethos towards this, which is that there's a fun fact to me, which is that I have never been relaxed ever. That's the answer.
Yeah, there it is. If you want to reach out to us, please follow us on Twitter at @probsnotaliens. We've been getting a lot of good feedback lately. I think the last episode that went out, people just really resonated with it. So thank you so much to everyone who reached out and said some really, really nice things. Please don't stop. We love hearing how you think about the episodes and what you want us to talk about. And also, if you have specific topics that you want us to talk about, go to probs.aliens.com, and there is a link at the bottom of the page for suggesting topics. Maybe we'll do a listener special soon. I know we're on episode 25, so maybe we'll do something fun there pretty soon, but really appreciate it. And if you want more of Tristan, where can they find you at?
I have a channel called Step Back at stepbackhistory.com. That's where I make videos about why, for example, what you're learning today, why history is important for understanding why the world is the way it is today. And you can find me getting mad at the news on Twitter, which is at Tristan PEJ.
Fantastic. Do you want more of me? Do you want more of my voice, you say, and my research? Then you can find me over at NerdSync, the YouTube channel, NERDSYNC. Very fun show that I do over there, where I talk about comics and superheroes and cartoons and sometimes other things. And I make video essays, and they're fun, and I like them, and they're good. Dang it. I'm going to say it. They're good. They're good videos.
They are good.
I don't know why I got aggressive all of a sudden. I'm sorry.
I've got several. I have a private playlist that's just labeled inspiration, which are videos I watch when I want to, like, you know, when I want to make good stuff myself. So there's some NerdSync videos on there.
Oh, that's nice. I got to dig into that. I would love to know what else is on that playlist. But thank you so much to everyone for leaving reviews. Specifically, I think just for now, we're going to start shouting out names of people instead of reading reviews, unless there's a particularly good one. But thank you to Magic Fan 1992, a good year, 1992. That's when I was born. I know. I'm almost 30, Tristan. Thank you to Top Digs. Thank you to Cat_Farts. What a good name. Thank you to all of you who have written reviews. Brigitte 2000. I guess a robot, a French robot. Is Brigitte French? Sounds French. It doesn't matter.
I think it's actually more like of a Scandinavian name.
Oh, perfect.
Brigitte.
A Scandinavian robot. Oh, Brigitte. That might be what it is. Anyway, thank you everyone who wrote reviews. Really appreciate it. Keep writing reviews. If you have a funny name, I will shout it out in the next episode, potentially. That's everything. Once again, my name is Scott.
Do you want to do the truth is out there thing?
Oh, do I want to do it?
Yeah. Why don't you do it? This
okay.
Once you can do it.
And then that's Tristan over there.
Hey.
And as always, the truth is out there. Probs not aliens. Probably.
Ah, you did great. Awesome.
Yay.